Ace Podcast.
You are listening to the Crazy Town Podcast, Season 2, Episode 5, with Jonas and TNT Dynamite.
What's going on, Jonas?
Nothing. TNT, did you know Marge Simpson has rabbit parts?
What?
Marge Simpson's, from The Simpsons, is part rabbit.
Like, what? What parts, Jonas? You know my mind.
She does not have a rabbit vagina.
God damn it. Am I that transparent?
You are. She doesn't have a rabbit penis either.
God, that was my second guess.
Her hair is shaped like that to hide her bunny ears.
Really?
Marge Simpson has bunny ears. I guess Matt Groening wanted to unveil this in the last episode of The Simpsons, yet it's been going on for 30 years, so he really hasn't had an opportunity.
Are you serious?
If you play the Simpsons arcade game...
Yeah, I've seen them in the arcade
When Marge gets shocked, you can see her bunny ears.
What?
That's the only fucking reference they've made to it at all.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's been going on for 30 years, and they never talk about it. But yeah, in the game, yeah, if she gets shocked, you can see her bunny ears. You can go look at Google it. You can look it up. All right, better yet, if you've never went and played it, go find a copy of the Simpsons arcade game and play that shit. It's fun as hell. I actually, me and a couple other people beat that in the arcade in Circus Circus in like 2011. We got a bunch of quarters and got drunk and played it until we beat it in the arcade.
My God, in the arcade.
Yeah, it was awesome. We were wasted. But anyways, now that we've told you something that you probably will not believe until you go Google it, enjoy the show, everybody. And welcome to another episode of the Crazy Town Podcast. I am your host, Jonas, and I'm here once again with my co-host, TNT Dynamite. Go ahead and say hello to everyone.
What's going on, everybody? TNT Dynamite here, the explosive one. TNT, D-I-N-O-N-I-G-H-T. What's going on, Jonas?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out again, right. Podcasting. Cool. Thanking people for listening. By the way, thanks for listening.
Got a lot of people who listen.
I do, too.
I would have their babies.
Wow, you'd have a man baby?
I mean, I guess. I'd have a woman baby, too.
You should
too.
Probably have a man baby, because you'd be the first man, and you'd be very wealthy.
Oh, I get it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, like you like Arnold and twins, but real.
That was Kindergarten Cop where he got pregnant.
No, he taught kids. He didn't have a baby in that one. He has your favorite person in it, too, Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I love Danny!
Anyways, thank you so much for listening. If you are not following us on Twitter, you better, at the Crazy Town Pod. If you don't, Aunt Sheila will not take you to the bar mitzvah.
Aunt Sheila, please, I have to go.
I know, I've been waiting all month for it. The cornucopia of continuous information about the show, thecrazytown.com. We have a wondrous show planned for you today. We have part one of an interview that we've already done with a international gold miner, chief of the village, slam dunk champion, Dr. Raymond Youngblood.
It sounds unbelievable, but... Listen for yourselves.
This guy is awesome. Like, we did this interview a little ways back. We had to break it into a couple parts. It's an amazing interview. I'm telling you, you may question what he's saying, but it's an awesome story. It's 100% legit.
Yeah.
We also
very interesting stories.
Oh, it is. It's very, very interesting, for sure. So we also have other crazy and weird news to talk about. We also are going to talk about the mystery of La Mancha Negra today.
The Black La Mancha.
The Black La Mancha, yes, indeed. But before we get into any of that, I do want to remind everybody to send in articles and emails and tweets and all of that to crazytownpodcast@gmail.com. And our rant and rave voicemail line, people call it when you're drunk. Tell us what you hate about us. Cuss us out. Do whatever you need. What's the number, Angie?
Wait, it's tax one nip. I remember that part. Was 867-5309? 867, no, what is it, dude?
It's 512.
I was right.
Tax one nip.
That's right. You hate taxes, you love nipples.
Exactly. It's a good way to remember. For those who don't want to look up the numbers, it's 512-829-1647. We have an email from Edgar. A little bit of a touching email today. Edgar, he's from Dallas. He says, Jonas, I just wanted to write and tell you that after I saw some of your tweets you posted about listening to the show with Grandma, I actually have posted...
That sounds like some shit you would do.
I literally, I know you probably don't check, but I do actually put a lot of tweets about listening to the show with Grandma or whatever, so. Anyways, I digress. Edgar says, after you posted tweets about listening to the show with Grandma, I played the show for mine. She always has had a great sense of humor, and she actually enjoys your show. Last time I stopped over to her house, she asked me if there was, and I quote, any more of that crazy radio to listen to.
Crazy radio.
Yep, yeah. Hey,
SiriusXM.
Grandma's in technology, dude, I'll tell you. He says, I thought it was hilarious. Thanks for giving me something to bond with my grandma over, even in a really weird sort of way. So, TNT, we appeal to grandmas as well, so it looks like you can use that in the streets.
That's pretty... in the streets? What do you think? There's like this, like... grandma's lining the corners of my neighborhood, dude?
Well, no, I mean, if you want to try to, like, you know, get a sugar mama, you can, like, say, hey, lady, I do a podcast. It's called Crazy Radio.
Look, I wouldn't kick an elderly woman out of bed. I probably shouldn't say that.
Do
you
really
listen to your grandma, though? Do you really?
Do I? I personally do not, but Edgar does.
No. Has your grandma ever heard the show?
I don't think so, man. I don't think my grandma even knows I do it.
No?
No. Wow. Grandma would probably be down. She'd probably be like, what is this? I don't know. My grandma's actually really awesome, but I don't know what she would think about this. She'd probably be like, Jonas!
And I know you're pretty vulgar sometimes.
In that grandma tone, yeah. Yeah. It'd be like that time when I was like 5 and I tried to steal a pack of gum from the store. It's the only time I've heard grandma ever yell at me. And I was like, oh my God, grandma's evil. And then she's been nice ever since. So I was like, oh. Anyways, before we jump into La Mancha Negra, TNT, drop some knowledge on these.
Absolutely.
It's time to learn with TNT, your episodal, anecdotal, vocabulary, expansion, exercise. I will never remember to say that again, by the way.
I feel like you misused anecdotal. But
yeah, I know, I did. I just threw it in there.
I didn't mean to hail Hitler all over
you're already a fucking grammar word nerd Nazi, so why don't we just fucking...
All right. Today's word is capacious.
Ooh. How you spell it?
Yes. CAPACIOUS. Sound like a rap lyric almost. Capacious. Having a lot of space inside or roomy.
Ooh. You can you use that in a sentence?
Oh, you damn right I can. After a night out on the town... The inside of Jonas's asshole was quite capacious.
Oh, what's a night out on the town, by the way?
I said a night out on the town, didn't I? That mispronounced that?
No, you never would have done that. You're such a grammatically,
here, Jonas.
Grammatically correct. You're going to make jokes about my butt. I'm going to call you out on mispronouncing the goddamn words.
Fair.
Anyways, all right, thank you so much for dropping knowledge on us from the skies.
Yeah.
All right, La Mancha Negra. It translates out to the black stain.
Okay.
So what this is, it's from Venezuela in Caracas, C-A-R-A-C-A-S. So I believe that's Caracas.
Yeah, okay.
It is a substance that began oozing from the road in Venezuela. It first started in 1986.
So oil.
Hold on. Don't quit trying to jump the gun, bro. I'm trying to...
I'm sorry. You know, people at home are thinking it, too.
Come on, yeah. Sorry. Well, that's what they're thinking. They can think anything they want. So this smudge, right. It showed up on the road, and it was 50 yards long.
Black gold, Texas tea.
Yeah, right. Like, Jeb was like, oh, my goodness, let's scrape it off, cash it in.
Let's move away from there.
Yeah. I said, let's go to California. It's the place I want to be. Anyway.
I guess... Not gonna go into the whole song.
No. I mean, I love my truck and my family or something. I don't know. So they found it on the road. They found it on the road. It was 50 yards long. They found it as workers were patching a 30-year-old asphalt on a stretch of highway. At first, there was little concern about it showing up. But after it stretched to 100 meters, and then eventually it was 8 miles of the highway was covered with this unknown material.
Okay.
They found that it contracted and expanded with weather, so when it was hot and wet, it would expand.
Oh.
And when it was cold and dry, it would contract.
So, it's dick meat.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Composed of
surprise,
dick meat.
They found out the probe was growing penises.
It's a giant foreskin. It's land foreskin.
Oh, yuck. All right. It had a gummy texture, but it made the roads unsafe, and it caused accidents. Actually, between 1986 and 1992, 1,800 deaths were caused by the black stain.
God damn, dude. What the fuck? Why didn't clean it up?
So after that, the government stepped in and started trying to figure out what it was and trying to spend millions of dollars in the process to figure out what it is and how to clean it up. They even consulted other countries such as the U.S., Canada, and other countries in Europe. So in 1994... 8 years after it first showed up, they finally decided to try to clean it away. I don't know why they didn't try it till 8 years after it showed up. So they tried first to pressure wash it away. Did not work. It could not be pressure washed away. Then they tried to use a detergent, sort of soap-based thing on it to wash it away. That didn't work either. It would not clean up this substance.
Really?
Yes. Finally, they ended up taking limestone and crushed limestone up till basically it was almost like a dust and put that all over the stain. It actually did work for a while. It basically just dried it out. But it made the roads so dusty that drivers complained the air was almost unbreathable when you tried to drive on it. But in 1996, it came back. Due to lack of maintenance and a low amount of rainfall.
What the hell?
Yeah, so at this point, they've ended up bringing in special German cleaning equipment. They didn't say what it was. They never mentioned what this special cleaning equipment was. But they brought it in from the Germans, and they actually cleared it up. I don't know why they didn't mention what the magic was that cleaned this up.
It's probably OxyClean.
They showed up with a guy from fucking the OxyClean commercial that OD'd.
He Billy was just Mays, like, man. Yeah. Rest in peace.
They just threw OxyClean down on it and had like, they had like a toothpick and OxyClean and it came right off because OxyClean cleans everything so well.
And a truck of ShamWows.
Yeah, that guy. You're going to love my nuts. That guy, the Vince guy from the Sham. Anyways. So
you're right, yeah.
They cleaned it up. It came back again in 2001. They say it's an inch thick, greasy black blob that has the consistency of chewed bubblegum.
That's kind of nuts, man.
Right. Now, there are some various theories of what it is. Some people thought it was raw sewage from nearby slums had ran, like, downhill under the asphalt and caused a chemical reaction that broke down the road and whatever.
Uh-huh.
they thought maybe it was poor quality asphalt, but they claim that the asphalt itself has nothing to do with the creation. But like you said earlier, the most accepted theory is that it's the result of, like, oil and gas and dirt and poor quality vehicles leaking fluids onto the road. But they can't confirm, they tested it, it's not pure oil or pure gas, you know, whatever. No one still knows what this is.
I mean, we have, like, scientists and shit.
Well, yeah, but they don't know, man. It's like...
okay. That's yeah. crazy.
Yeah. So that's why it's called La Mancha Negra, because it's the black stain. It's, you know, have you ever seen the movie Creepshow?
No.
Oh. Well, in a non-millennial world, because I know you're a millennial.
Somebody out there seen it. Somebody the out audience. There. The audience.
It's actually Creepshow, too. It reminds me of one of the little skits that they did, the horror stories, was these people were on a little makeshift raft in this pond, and this blob started growing through and eating them, and it just reminded me of that. There was no fatalities from the blob eating anyone, just accidents.
Oh, okay.
Sounds cool. It's not a cannibalistic blob.
Wait, a cannibalistic blob would eat other blobs.
Well, it's already cannibalized so many other blobs that there's not even any blobs left to cannibalize. It is so cannibalistic, it has wiped out every other blob and is now the only blob.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yes. I'm sure. Yeah. And you say that makes sense. That's my favorite part. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got for that. We will be right back on the Crazy Town podcast and go over a few more stories before we get into our interview with Dr. Raymond Youngblood. We will be right back.
Hey, this is Cade.
And this is Jeff.
From the Super Pee Pee Town Podcast, and you're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast.
And if you were listening to a different podcast, how would you even be responding?
And we have returned on the Crazy Town Podcast. Jonas here with TNT Dynamite.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, TNT.
Huh?
Would you like to get $37,500 from the police?
What do I got to do?
Well, I have a story that happened in Florida.
Oh, well, there's a surprise.
Go figure. And it's kind of crazy. So everything we ever I swear, dude, half the stuff we talk about is from Florida.
I know, right?
This happened a little while ago. It was in December of 2015. A 64-year-old man was pulled over for speeding.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was, like, after dropping, like, someone he knows off at, like, a rehab or, like, for cancer treatment or something. It was like he was doing something nice and he gets pulled over for speeding.
That's unfortunate.
Right. So when he hands over his license to the police officer, the officer noticed that he had a concealed carry permit. Then the driver confirmed to the officer that he did have a pistol with him, and she asked him to step out of the car for safety, which he obliged.
And he shot her. It'd be Florida.
He wouldn't have got $37,000 if he shot the cop.
Oh, yeah.
Man, always the violence with you.
No, it's Florida!
It's always either something with a penis or something with violence.
Get out of here, dude. It's Florida. It wouldn't surprise me if a penis were violent.
And all of a sudden, an alligator came out of nowhere and ate both of them. That's the kind of shit that happens in Florida. All right. So, she searches the car. She gets permission to search the car. And then comes back to him and asks him if he wants to tell her about what they found in his car.
Okay.
Confused, the man said nothing. There was nothing in my car. You know, just like every criminal. What do you have in your car, sir? Nothing. I have nothing in there. 22 pounds of pot in the fucking trunk. Dead body, whatever. You know, I mean, there's always something crazy, and it is Florida. They have a traveling circus in the trunk. There's like...
Harambe.
Harambe's in there. It's like Tupac. He's really not dead. It's Harambe.
Tupac and Harambe playing cards.
Yeah. Tupac and Harambe are in there. They're in there making meth for immigrants. I don't know. I'm rambling.
Okay. There you go.
Anyways, so confused, he said, I don't have anything in there. To which she confronted him about some crystals that were lying on the floor of his car. And they test it. It's a white substance, and it comes back positive for meth.
Dun, dun, dun.
Methamphetamines. So the man swears up and down that he doesn't have any meth, and that it was frosting from a Krispy Kreme donut. Because he gets them once a week, and he eats them in his car. So, I mean, that sounds legit, right? I mean, I dropped some frosting on my floor. It's not meth, I swear, officer. Please don't take me to jail.
Honestly, those Krispy Kreme donuts are so fucking good, I wouldn't be surprised if they sprinkled meth on them.
It tested positive because the Krispy Kreme put meth on your donut, sir. That's why you got $37,000.
Yeah, man, those things are fucking delicious.
Myth busted. Dude, if I eat Krispy Kreme donuts, it gives me heartburn because they're so goddamn sweet. It's like eating a sugar brick.
It's probably the meth, Jonas.
Oh, the meth gives me the heartburn. Fuck.
Meth has been known to induce all kinds of gastrointestinal issues.
All right, fair enough. All right, so needless to say, they took him to jail because he had meth on him. So yeah. He was in jail for 10 hours before they released him. They sent the magic meth from his car out to a lab to be tested. Sure enough, it came back as not a controlled substance in any way, shape, or form.
What the fuck?
They did fail to say if it was actually frosting from the donut, but my guess is that it was. So, all the charges were dropped against him. But, another story from Florida, go figure. There was another person, a contractor, was arrested for drywall dust that was in his car that came back positive for cocaine from a field test.
Oh, wow. What's up with these field tests?
So come to find out.
Florida field tests.
The field tests are very inaccurate. They said that 21% of the declared items that were declared as meth in the field were in fact not meth. So one out of every five is a false positive.
Wow. That's not a very good ratio, man.
Right? Exactly. Well, considering they're ruining people's lives over this and taking them to jail for drugs, you know, felony drug convictions, they says the kits they use, get this, are $18 for 10 tests.
You can get more pregnancy tests for that kind of money.
They're running to fucking Dollar Tree and snatching up all the dollar drug tests off the shelves and fucking...
They're getting them from fucking Aldi's and like a 10-pack.
Right? Dude, you can go to it's a dollar store here. It's called Dollar Tree. Everything is literally a dollar or less in this store. It's not like Family Dollar or whatever where things are like just discounted. This is a legit dollar store. They do in fact sell marijuana drug tests and pregnancy tests there for $1.
Huh.
Yeah. So I would totally rely on a job or a baby by a dollar test, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, what? Florida. That's all I can say, dude. It's fucking Florida, of course.
Well, right, yeah. They're locking
people up because they're fucking cheap shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't care.
I'm going to do something that has never been done before on the Crazy Town podcast.
You're going to masturbate live on air.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, thank God.
Do you want to hear? I'm going to ask you what story we're going to do and what story we're going to push onto a future episode. Do you want to hear about someone winning $24 million? Or do you want to hear about HBO saving a man's life? Two positive stories.
Jonas, you're going to totally start dating episodes if you do that.
What? How am I going to date an episode? I can't take it out in a day. It's not going to give it up anyway.
Oh, Jesus, Jonas.
Oh, you don't
I mean,
need to physically date it. Oops.
No. I mean, like, you're going to be like, I'm going to present this to you, and then people are going to be like, oh, I want to hear this. And then it's going to be like fucking
February 2020 before they fucking hear what story they picked.
They may not ever hear it again. I mean, it may just go right in the trash. It may be life or death for one of these stories. You're like the executioner in that movie. You're like, your thumb's up and you're like wiggling it back and forth. Whether you want to go up or down with it.
Well, why don't you just ask me? I'll choose.
I was asking you, dude.
Oh, unless you're asking the people at home.
No, I just said I was going to ask you which one you want
to
hear.
Why don't you talk to the fucking listeners?
Dude, how would they get back to me about it?
That's what my problem was. See, dude, this is very obfuscating.
Is that your next word for the next episode?
No, because I can't pronounce it. I wanted to use it, but it's very obfuscating.
Which one do you want to hear? That's the whole point. We never talk about positive stories, so I have two positive stories. Oh, that guy won $37,000 because he sued the cops. Anyways. Sorry, forgot to mention that part.
I was wondering, but that's cool. All right, you're going to ask me. When you say you, I assume you're talking to the listeners, but you're talking to me. I like this that we're having a conversation for the first time ever on the show.
Yeah, right?
Let's go. All right, what's my choices?
Oh, my God, were you just not paying attention?
No, you said one was the $24 million, what was the other choice?
Or HBO saving a man's life. HBO, like the channel.
Oh, jeez. Let's go with HBO, because I'm tired of fucking hearing about other people winning money.
Okay, sounds good. This is an old story. It actually happened in 2003, but I thought it was an awesome story. A man named Juan Catalan was arrested for the murder of a 16-year-old girl. What a piece of crap. Murdering kids. F you, Juan.
I feel like you're trying to misdirect.
they arrested him. They had a witness that placed him at the scene of this crime.
All right.
So that's why they arrested him in the first place.
Oh, so he really did kill the kid, right?
Did he? Dun, dun, dun. There was a witness who placed him at the scene, so they took him to jail.
Okay.
He claimed that he was innocent and that he had taken his daughter to go see a Dodgers game that day, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, okay.
He had a ticket stub from the game. He had his family statement saying that he was at the game. But since they had a witness in this crime, they were still moving forward with the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
His attorney tried to watch the game, like footage of the game from like ESPN or wherever the hell they played the game. And they found the section he was in, but they couldn't clearly make out him or his daughter in the crowd.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Come to find out, the attorney found out HBO was filming an episode of the show Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That day. I heard the story before.
Did you? Yeah. So lo and behold, in the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, they can see the guy who was accused of murder in the corner of a frame eating a hot dog with his daughter.
Yep.
So they placed him, and they said that there was no way he could have got from the game to, like, 20 minutes north and changed his clothes and dropped off his daughter and da-da-da and went and killed this lady. And he was potentially facing the death penalty for this crime. And so they dropped all of the charges, and he walked free.
I almost feel like when somebody fucking falsely accuses a person like that, they should face some charges.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
At least let me punch you in the fucking face as hard as I want.
Okay. Here's what I see. Just because you have a witness that can place somebody there, do you ever see my cousin Vinny?
Of course, the two Utes.
Well, right, the two Utes. Well, I mean, like, the witnesses can be wrong, because remember they had that one, there was that black lady who, like, lived across the street in her, and they were like, oh, but how could you see anything through this window? And they had her take her glasses off, and she couldn't even count the number, you know, so basically she just saw, like, the shadow of a person. It was like, oh, it's Jimmy, he did it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so witnesses can be wrong. But like, man, if I was ever going to be a witness to anything, you better damn believe I would feel so bad if I wrongly accuse someone
That's my thing, man. Like, having that on your shoulders is bad enough, but get the fuck out of here. Like, for real, I think that you should be allowed to, like, just, the cop should just set that person in front of you and let you fucking hit them in the face. At least. That's at least.
Yeah, yeah.
You're falsely accused because some witness fucked up,
the fuck out of justice.
Almost got that man killed, dude.
Well, yeah, or, I mean, raped or something, man. He would have been, I mean, dude, he would have been in jail as a kid killer. He would have been, you know what I mean? Like, they don't get treated too, like, if you do anything criminally against kids, felons don't take too kindly to that. You know what I mean?
All right. So,
which I don't blame him, but, like, I mean, this man would have been innocent in there for killing a teenager. Oh, my God, it would have been bad news for him. So, luckily, HBO was like, what up? I can't believe you heard this story before.
I did. I heard it on probably The Breakfast Club for the first time.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah, well, but, we're a little late to the party.
Yeah, it was Curb Your Enthusiasm. I hear it's a really good show, too. You ever watch it?
I have watched maybe an episode or two, but I don't have HBO, so. Anyways, that's really it. TNT chose the path of the podcast. It is forever changed now, and you may never hear the story of the $24 million lotto winner. Dun, dun, dun.
It has disappeared into the ether.
It has disappeared. You want to hear something?
What? No!
I crumpled it up. It's gone forever. Or did I? Was that the story I just read, or was that the other story? You'll never know. It's a mystery. Anyway.
God forbid you uncrumple it.
Quit giving away my secrets, Dynamite. Anyways, everyone, we'll be right back, and we're going to have part one of the interview with Dr. Raymond Youngblood. This first part of the interview, I believe he discussed is being the chief. I'm telling you, you may not believe it when you hear it, but it is true. It is an awesome story.
Yeah, he's the chief of something, man. It's fucking unbelievable, unbelievably believable.
Right, exactly. It's so awesome. So we'll be right back with that on the Crazy Town Podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Eric from Crossover University. You're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast on Ace Podcast Network.
Everyone, and joining us now on the podcast is Dr. Youngblood. He is a international gold miner, so I want to go ahead and welcome him to the show. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Do you want to go ahead and tell everybody a little bit, kind of like a brief overview, kind of what you do, and kind of tell them where they can find you online, things like that?
Sure. My name is Dr. Raymond Youngblood, Jr. I'm a award-winning international gold miner based out of West Africa. We operate primarily out of the countries of Liberia, Ghana, Sudan, Colombia, and I'm missing one here, Uganda.
Awesome. And
that's
awesome.
Primarily what we do. We extract things like precious minerals like gold, diamonds, and rare earth elements.
Okay, and then where can they find you online, like on Twitter, or if you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah, Twitter is at Dr. Youngblood. Facebook is just my plain name, Raymond Youngblood Jr. And website is www.youngbloodindustries.com. And what else I have here? Pretty much you can find me at Dr. Raymond Youngblood Jr., pretty much anything online.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So I guess the first question I had for you, I saw in your Twitter bio, like where you give a little brief description of yourself, it says Paramount Chief, and in parentheses it says King. I'm not sure what, like, can you explain what that is a little bit for people?
Yes. Okay, in Africa, or most countries outside of North America or Western world, the reference to a Paramount Chief is identical to what we refer to here in the U.S. as a king. In 2013, sorry, February of 2012, I was bestowed as a Paramount Chief. And what a Paramount Chief basically is a person almost like a, in some instances, like a president over a traditional group of people, a traditional leader who resides over a certain group of people. And my chiefdom, which is normally referred to in the Western world as a kingdom, But in my chieftain, there's about 280,000 people. Land mass wise is probably roughly around 800,000 acres. So 280,000 people will be referred to as my villagers, people that I reside over.
Is that a monarchy?
Yeah. It's similar to a monarchy, but you know, way back when the British and the Spanish and the Portuguese and all those colonized Africa, Spain already had a king, Britain already had a king. So, and when they met the Africans, they also had kings. So when they basically ruled over Africa, they changed the African status from king to paramount chief, which is identical. So you would identify a paramount chief as the same as a king. But in the Western world, we normally don't use paramount chief except with the native Indians. And then in Africa, it is also referred to as paramount chief or king.
Okay, that's awesome. What area is your kingdom? Like where at? Like what would be included in that geography-wise?
Okay, my area where I was bestowed is Liberia, West Africa. My county, Liberia, is broken up into counties, like the United States is broken up into states, mm-hmm. and then the states are broken up into parishes. I mean, counties. I'm in Louisiana, so we normally say parishes. But in Liberia, when sometime around 1847, Liberia became an independent nation, and then it also divided its country into counties. So my county is referred to as Barpalu, spelled with a G. The G is silent. G-B-A-R-P-O-L-U, Barpalu. So Barpalu County. And then my area where my chieftaincy reigns more supreme than anywhere else is an area called Bopalu.
Is there a G in that one?
And that's in West Africa. And that. Say again.
I said, is there a silent G in that
Bopalu,
one?
Bopalu, that's a, no, not in Bopalu.
Okay.
So now, it's just like Barpalu.
Now, are you originally from the United States then, or are you from that area?
No, I'm originally from Louisiana. Born and raised country boy here in Louisiana. None of my parents, my parents probably wouldn't even know where Liberia was. But I worked over there for quite a long time. And there is, let me give you this little bit of history because this can also help people understand, because me being an American and being a paramount chief in Africa can kind of confuse people, because it's not common for an outsider to actually be bestowed. To get an honorary title, they do it all the time, but to actually be bestowed is quite a remarkable thing that I am starting to start to appreciate. What happened is when you go to an area and you serve the people, as what they can say, there's three ways a chief is bestowed or a chief is crowned. The first way, you're born into it. Your dad and your dad, his dad and so on was a chief, and then you're automatically born into it. The most prestigious way that is now becoming very popular is when they say bestowed, meaning that the people select you. The people will come together and then they say, okay, we want you to serve as the leader over us. It's not even necessarily a vote. It's a community thing that comes together. You're normally thrown out there with other people. And then out of that group, that's when the people have to all agree on this person or that person. There is no vote divided in between, nothing like that. Either we all agree on this person or we don't. And then the other way is a person is elected. Because the chiefs are broken up into categories. There is the overall board that governs the chiefs, which is a leadership structure, which is called the Traditional Council of Chiefs and Elders. And that Traditional Council of Chiefs and Elders override all the traditional people and is also recognized by the central government, which has its own autonomous government structure away from the central government. And I also sit on that board. And then there is a structure which is what is called the Dakpana. The Dakpana is basically like the chiefs of chief or the king of kings. And that's normally a title given to one or more chiefs that currently resides. But normally it's just given to one. And then there's the queen mother, which is the traditional queen, which also resides. So the Dakpana Oh, God, I'm going to be in trouble for it, man. I hope nobody hears this interview now. I cannot remember his name. But
from, they're going to hear it.
The queen, I know her well because she always called me and get on my butt. And sorry, fellas, I just realized something. You probably won't hear me cuss from this point forward because I've also told the audience and recognized as a paramount chief, and it goes against all my principle to you for me to use foul language, not to, for me to hear it, but for me to use it. So the queen is Julie Indy, or also known as Ambassador Julie Indy. She's based out of Liberia, West Africa. And then the chiefs come down in the order: paramount chief, clan chief, town chief, sub chief, village chief, and then the elders. Normally there's women leaders and youth leaders and so on and so forth. So over my reign, man, it's a lot of chiefs.
What are your duties entail?
Okay. Your duties really entail, just imagine whatever the president of a country does, that's basically what the chief does. And the chief has, just remember, before there was the central government's status that was given to all these countries, it was the traditional status that these countries were ruled by the kind of a monarchy structure. Whether you have the Ashanti Kingdom or the Mali Kingdom or the Zulu Nation or whatever,
I don't know what those are.
It had that structure to it. So
what are those?
Say again.
What are those?
The Mali. Okay, the Ashanti. Oh man, Mali, the Mali Kingdom. You know, way back when. I'll give you a little bit of history lesson here. That's what governed Africa. Those were the most powerful nations in the world, or the most powerful sections of the world. The Ashanti. You know Zulu. Yeah. If I say the name Shaka Zulu, that name will ring a bell, right?
Yeah, I've heard of that movie. I've heard of the Zulu Nation before.
Oh, okay. Well, these were just basically like the Egyptians. Let me just go a little bit more. Like the Egyptians, these were nations that were just in power. And so that same structure that governed that whole thing that you can see is exactly what it was. So balance a paramount chief with a president, or if you want to give a little bit of a smaller title to it, just say the paramount chief is the same as a governor, or you know, some of the leaders within the traditional leadership can be like the Senate, can be like the House of Representatives, the elders, you know, reign where there's a group of people who takes care of this, and then there's the ministers or the department heads, and every chieftaincy has that. So, you know, I have somebody that's over security. I have somebody that's over education. I have somebody that's over health. I have somebody that's over the youth and sports. I have somebody that, you know, it keeps going and keeps going.
Now, these areas, are they very developed? Or are they more like small villages, or is it, you know, like a normal size, you know, city with buildings and, you know, infrastructure and all that? Or is it more like tribal and, you know, smaller scale sort of thing?
Yes. Okay. And most 90% of them will probably be way back when, though, they were fully developed. They were fully developed. They had an entire structure, engineering, cities, buildings, all that. And then war and time, they've been reduced basically down to kind of a village structure. Like in my case, we have a city. I mean, you know, you have streets, you have lights, you have generators that power this stuff. You have buildings, one story, two story. You have that. Now, when you're talking about really developed, it will have to be a paramount chief like the one in Ghana, the country of Ghana in West Africa. And Ghana has an area near a city called Kumasi, which is governed by what is called, for example, in Liberia, the chief is called the Dakpana. But in Ghana, they're called the Ahenti or the Ashanti. So from the Ashanti nation, and that king that governs them, I mean, he has an entire city with skyscrapers and you know, and everything, you know. So, in the most part, it's just basically a village life. And then people like myself, when we are bestowed, we're expected to change all that. We're expected to modernize and bring, you know, certain development to the village and certain structure and, you know, that kind of thing, to modernize it, to take it back to the kind of life they once had, where they had this kind of.
How'd you do at that? I said, how'd you do at that? Did you bring them to the 21st century?
Well, I was just, in a relative term of the chief, I was just bestowed. It hasn't been that long. So I'm working on it. And
oh, just recently.
My biggest plight has been, 2012, 2013.
Okay.
So I haven't been a chief that long. Mm-hmm.
Now, is this something you do remotely from Louisiana, or like, how do you split your time as far as all that goes?
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. For the most part, I spend a great deal of time in Africa, Liberia, and I'll be spending a lot more time in between Colombia, South America, and West Africa. And then I'll be spending probably about 1/10 of my time in East Africa. We have a project that's being developed over there between Uganda and Sudan. But it's not easy. It's not easy. You have a lot of problems in the villages. For example, as a chief, I'm responsible for being over everything from a dispute between two farmers over a chicken and a guinea fowl and an ear of corn to murder and rape. I mean, you have all these things that as a chief, you're responsible for keeping the law and order, development, and probably my three biggest problems that we're facing now is political corruption. That's one of our biggest things, because the cities and the towns where most of the politicians live now in the urban areas where you can have, I mean, you literally have some places in Africa that's just as developed as Chicago or New York. I mean, they have skyscrapers, they have streets. You have guys riding around in Bugattis and Mercedes Benzes and have private jets. And then you have the complete opposite of that. Look like a Tarzan movie, about 10 miles outside the city. So for me, corruption is one of my biggest plights that I'm having to deal with. Another big problem that I'm having that I will put to the top three is education and youth development, especially when it comes to young girls and making sure they have what they need. And then the third biggest problem would be development, would be modernizing, would be creating jobs, streets and buildings and modernized hospitals and, this kind of thing. So you literally have people in the bush right now that's doing surgery by candlelight, literally.
Oh, wow.
And I know this for a fact because I've held the candle before while somebody did surgery.
Wow. Now, you spoke about the women needing development. Now, in the U.S., women's rights have come a long way from, in the last 100 years. They went from not even being able to vote to, like, now they're, they get their equal pay, everything like that. Is it like that in Africa, or are the women held to a lesser standard still? So that's why you're fighting to get them education and in a place where they can help the community more, or is it pretty much evened out like it is here?
Well, it is here in America, the women probably are far more advanced than where they are there. You have a male chauvinist kind of atmosphere that is extremely strong. I mean, women are just not expected to be able to do what a man does. And it has been a very big fight for a lot of women, especially in the area of politics, to get equal representation, to be able to pass laws that even help women. I give you one example that is probably one of the biggest places that you can have. If you go to, say, a country like Sudan, let me give a better example. Let's take Liberia. That's my base. I know Liberia like the back of my hand. If you take a country like Liberia, where probably 30% of the politicians are women, 70% are men, but 52% of the population is female. And 52 out of the 80 to 70. Say again.
It sounds like my type of place. 52% female.
I tell you what, not to get off the subject a little bit, but I tell you what,
Once
you get a hold of some of them Liberian girls, you're not going to want to come back. I can tell you that. They are extremely beautiful.
You're not allowed to talk like that, man.
I'm allowed to talk like that, man. I'm allowed. I'm just not allowed to use profanity while explaining it.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense.
But
we can talk about Liberia.
But everybody, yeah, go ahead, T. I hear you.
I said we can talk more about Liberian women after the show if you want. You can give me a couple phone numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one of the biggest plights is women in politics, young girls, jobs, you know, just the guys having the understanding and belief that the women can do it. And, you know, it has been a struggle. It has been a real big struggle. I feel bad for a lot of women there, mainly because of that male chauvinist kind of atmosphere. It's slowly changing. But, you know, we still have a long way to go. And Liberia has the very first elected female president in African history.
Oh, awesome.
And on the whole continent. So, yeah, so that's a big
push. Ahead of us.
And then, very much so.
We did a story on the podcast last season of a woman who she pretended to be a man so she could go mine in Tanzania to, you know, because they wouldn't even allow women in the mine. So she like pretended to be a man to even be able to get the job because she was like fleeing her home area. And, you know, so I know what you, when you speak how the women are kind of held back, it's chauvinistic. They don't even assume they can do the job. That popped in my head because we had talked about that previously.
Okay. And maybe for her, there's a couple of ways women are not allowed on the mining site. So there's a lot of women that are mining because even in my early days when I was out there with the pickaxe and the shovel before we grew into a bit of a modernized mining operation, women wasn't allowed on a mining site because it feared of kind of like a, how can I say, like a witchcraft, kind of like a juju, hoodoo, voodoo kind of.
Oh, like they were bad luck, like having a woman on the site would be bad luck for the site?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be very much bad luck on the site because that's not the kind of work that they believe women should be doing. And it's very physical intensive. The other reason for that, too, is that there's a very big – the Africans have not settled well with any form of lesbianism or homosexuality or you know, no, women in the men world don't mix.
Yeah.
So, But, you know, my mining site, you have women, you know, mainly because I'm the boss. But in some mining sites, I've showed up with female staff, and the female staff, when I pull up on the mining site, the female staff can't even get out the vehicle. They're not even allowed, you know. And these are mining sites that I actually own, and that's how the boys, they really stick to their guns with when it comes to that kind of belief. So, and but, you know, that's 1,000 different beliefs. So... And some of it too is, I'll be honest, some of it is bull crap. I mean, really, some of it really is bull crap. If I got some chiefs right now in some areas that I mine that anytime they want a new vehicle or they want more money or they want to travel somewhere, they will declare a certain day holy. You know, you can't mine on Wednesday. And when you can't mine on Wednesday, you know, they declare that day holy. And for whatever masculine reason or miracle, a good $1,500 or $2,000 or $10,000 can make that day perfectly okay. Okay, oh, it's okay to do Wednesday now. You know, the chief has been settled, you know, so.
Right. Well, you said that corruption, corruption reigns. So it's like money talks, you know. So people, they're like, oh, yeah, a little bit of money will change their mind, you know.
I think we skipped on one point. How exactly did you get bestowed this power? Was it just because you got money? You sound like you got money. You talk like you got money.
Was it you mine, so essentially there's money to be made.
Yeah, brother said he owns mines. I'm wondering, was it the money? Did he just have a lot of money? It was like, what'd you do? What'd you do that was so special?
I wish it was about the money. It would be easy. I wouldn't have to go and sit and reside with all this craziness that I believe sometimes. What happened with me, let me just be honest, and a lot of people don't know this. When I was bestowed, I literally did not know I was going to my own bestowing ceremony. Because when I was asked to be bestowed ahead of time, like a few months ahead of time, I never responded. I was a little, I know what the chief's jobs are. I know what they're responsible for. I know I've delivered a baby in a wheelbarrow before. And I know because they didn't have a hospital and they were, the dad was pushing the wife in the wheelbarrow about 17 miles. And then we were going along, going on a scouting trip and we stopped and we saw them and I literally helped deliver the baby. And so, you know, I know what the chiefs, I know what that job entails and I know what's expected. So I kind of ran, I did my own thing where we would, you know, give money, help with medicine, build schools, help build, you know, palaver huts, which is like community centers. I would do all that kind of stuff, but I didn't want that responsibility. So one day, and my wife is actually from Liberia. I normally don't talk about my family. It's a little dangerous part to it, but I normally don't. But she's also a politician there. Mm-hmm. She said, Raymond, I want you to go to ceremony with me. And I said, Muna, I don't feel like it today. I said, cause in Africa on Saturday, Every Saturday, you either go into a wedding or a funeral. I'm not joking with that. Sometimes I can attend four in a day. There are two funerals and two weddings in the same day. And with her being a politician, it's always some type of event we got to go to. So I said, I don't feel like it. So I know something wasn't right when she asked, when I finally agreed to go after she harassed the heck out of me, when I finally agreed to go, then I had on, you know, some clothes and she said, no, you can't wear that. I said, why not? You said it's not that big of a deal. I don't feel like changing. No, I want you to put on this shirt and this. I said, whoa, something ain't right. But anyway, I changed and we ended up going to a ceremony. And when we were sitting in the second row, I remember sitting on the row. I remember seeing some other dignitaries there. And I remember thinking to myself, I said, damn, this is kind of a small event. There's a lot of people here. So didn't think none of it. The queen came out. She greeted me. I know the queen very well. She came out, she greeted me and so on. And the two people that were sitting next to me, I noticed that they got also bestowed. And these were guys, one of them were running for president of the country. He's running for president now. And another one was a very big, some kind of guy who owns some distillery in Great Britain or somewhere or in England somewhere. Mm. And both of those guys were from Liberia. And they went out and they, you know, made real big names for themselves. And then just recently, just to make a long story short, I had just did a lot of development in one of the buildings. I built a lot of houses and not necessarily houses like what we do here. We normally use nature things like we use the mud and then we plastered the wall of the mud with concrete. And so these houses, I mean, you'd be surprised what you can do with it. And then I'm sitting there and then I saw the two chiefs go up and crown the first guy. About 15 minutes later, the second guy gets crowned with two chiefs. And then I see seven chiefs standing up and the first thing hit my mind was, man, whoever the hell this is about to be, somebody about to really be crowned because they normally don't use that many chiefs for this type of crown. It normally takes one or two chiefs to crown you. When I saw the seventh chief and then I heard the name Jolly Long. When I heard the name Jolly Long was a very powerful chief, even during the reigns of Charles Taylor. I don't know if y'all remember during the Liberian Civil War, Charles Taylor with the blood diamonds and
I saw that movie. Leonardo DiCaprio.
All this is the real movie that's based on had a lot to do with Liberia was a movie with Nicolas Cage, and he was a gun runner. I can't remember the name of the movie.
Ghost Rider. Lord of War.
Okay. Yeah, with Nicolas Cage. That movie depicts Charles Taylor.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I see every seat around me get empty. Man, my stomach started to turn. I knew what was up when I saw that. And then when I saw the queen come out, do her traditional dance, and then I seen all the dancers come out, and I was like, oh, God, I've been bamboozled, hoodwinked.
Why didn't you just say no, man? Why didn't you just say, look,
when the people choose you, man, you can't say no, you know? And that sounds horrible, because when Trump did right now, it doesn't sound good,
they finessed you, man. You got finessed.
Yeah, that's honestly how I got bestowed. And I literally, to be honest with you, for about 7 or 8 months, I took it to be an honorary thing, and I'll never forget one time I was somewhere, and as a group of women, as I was walking through, they all started bowing down, getting on their knees. And when the chief walks in, basically touched the back of their shoulder or their shoulder to, you know, to let everybody know it's okay to stand and rise before royalty or whatever. And I remember telling the lady, I said, oh, you don't got to do that. And the queen overheard me say that. And she grabbed me by my arm and she took me to the side. She said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just letting it. She said, hey, Raymond, let me tell you something. She said, I don't know. I've been watching you the last few months and I've noticed that when we do events and you show up, you're not showing up in your traditional dress. You're not showing up, behaving like a chief. So on. And she gave me this whole thing. She said, let me tell you something. These people chose you to lead them out of poverty. They chose you to make their life better. She said, you may be looking at it like a headache, but they looking at you like God sent. And she said, this ain't no honorary title you have. That ceremony bestowed you as an authentic paramount chief over these people. So either you're going to, and she said, until the day you die, that's your responsibility. She said, you didn't choose it. It chose you.
Oh,
man, every time I talk about that, and that's how it happened. And then I remember going back through the whole thing in my head when she was talking about, well, this guy did this, and she was naming off, and it's only when she started really naming off all the things, I never thought people paid attention to some of that stuff that I was doing. You know, we go to a village, we're going to mine an area, we do some exploration, we do a little scouting, and okay, to build a mud house costs about $1,500, and you can build like a 3-bedroom mud house, a really nice size mud house.
What?
Then to plaster it with concrete takes another $1,500. So about $3,000 to $3,500, you literally got a 1,500 square foot house with roof, everything. The crazy part about it, I didn't really see that as nothing because we have been doing that so often over the last 20 years. It became kind of common thing to me. I will build myself a mud house because I know I'm going to stay in that village. And you got electricity there. I mean, you don't think of it like nothing. I'm telling you, you walk in, you see 40-inch plasma TV. You see everything in a common house. And you got modern furniture with a recliner. I got Lazy Boy. You got all of that stuff. You know, everything powered by generator. So you living good. Okay. And so it never dawned on me. But to them, it meant everything. You know, it meant everything. So from that point on, I changed my mindset about it. And even now, even just last week, I went to I'll tell you this real quick. I went to a Chamber of Commerce meeting and I wore the traditional gown. So here I am, I'm in a little DeSoto Parish, Louisiana, you know,
daishiki.
Oh yeah, man. We talked about, everybody swore to God I was Muslim and, it was crazy. I showed up. This is the crazy part. One of my good friends, a white lady, she came and picked me up. And she said, hey, I'm bringing another one of my friends that you already know. I said, who is it? Oh, the investment lady. Oh, yeah, yeah. So here I show up with two blonde-headed white women wearing all this African gear. So, Emmy, you got to know we to talk of the whole chamber meeting. Everybody can't stop looking at us. And then three news stations was there. I mean, it was hilarious.
Oh man,
so,
that sounds like a really interesting time. That's a great story. So let me go ahead real quick. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back and finish the interview up with Dr. Youngblood here, and we'll be right back on the Crazy Town Podcast. And we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast, TNT, the first part of that interview with Dr. Youngblood. Doc.
Dude, I'm sure that the audience could hear skepticism in my voice.
Yeah, I believe the first part of the interview, the first section is where you were the most skeptical. You start coming around in the second part.
Yeah, yeah.
So
but I'm telling you, this guy's fucking legit. I was doing research.
I know you were. You were researching it up.
It's too much truth in this.
It's an awesome story, though, dude. It's so cool. I love the part about being tricked.
We've all been tricked, Jonas.
Into the chiefdom. You know what I mean?
We've all been tricked, but you're not gonna trick me in fucking coming to work.
Right. So, anyways, that is all the time that we have today. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. TNT, you want to tell everybody anything and pimp your stuff that doesn't exist or whatever?
Absolutely. TNT Dynamite, new content every day on fucking YouTube. You can find me there at tntdynamite.ucon college.
UConn? Are we watching Above the Rim?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. Also, TNT Dynamite on Twitter. I think I got like about 12, 13 followers now, so I'm kind of like a big deal. Basically fucking Jay-Z.
Almost.
In fact, yeah, Beyonce asked me out. I declined because I had the podcast and the people who listen to fucking attend to. You people matter to me more than my date with Beyonce. Just know that.
That's amazing. Well, once again, please give us some feedback. iTunes reviews are great. Send us an email. Tell us how much you hate us. Follow us on Twitter, at the Crazy Town Pod. Uncle Johnny will come over and steal your favorite sweater if you do not by the end of this episode.
Uncle Johnny, not my favorite sweater.
Yeah, second favorite, be okay with me. So, the continuous cornucopia of... I'm backwards, but that's fine. CrazyTown.com. But that is all the time we have. SoundCloud.com, CrazyTown Podcast. For TNT Dynamite, and for Jonas, we are out.
Over.